Pensacola Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee. I am the chair, Armin, and then we have today Councilmember Hendrick with us. Councilmember Martinez is excused from this meeting, and we'll just go. We'll jump straight into the agenda. The first thing on our first item is South 131st Street Drainage Improvement Project, presented by Josh Hopkins.
Hello, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joshua Hopkins, and I'm a surface water project manager in Public Works. Let's see. Tonight, Council is being asked to approve Amendment Number 4 to Contract 22-102 with Pace Engineers for additional engineering services in the amount of $223,170 to consider this item on the consent agenda at the December 2nd regular Council meeting. This one's a little bit longer. Let's see. So the 131st Drainage Improvement Project goal is to address flooding of roadway and adjacent private properties from Southgate Creek and to address issues that contribute to flooding, water quality, barriers to fish migration, and habitat degradation. Historically, Tequila dredged Southgate Creek along South 131st. They used to dredge annually to limit flooding to right-of-way and private property. This requires a hydraulic project approval from the DFW. It's called an HPA. And the DFW is issuing that every 5 years. And most recently, upon authorizing the last five-year permit to dredge, DFW asked the city to stop dredging and to find an alternate solution to reducing flooding. This original contract's preliminary design and hydraulic modeling indicated that proposed improvements had a high probability of reducing the need for dredging, but does not resolve flooding, and indicated a broader approach to resolving flooding. Let's see. Therefore, the project scope has expanded and is now organized into three phases. The original contract is phase one, and it includes a realignment of the West Fork and a fish passable replacement culvert. Phase two, which is amendment number three, work products are focused on increasing stream and stormwater conveyance along South 131st and 134th Place. This phase of work is in design development. Phase three is planning phase and will focus on understanding the impacts of legacy landslide in the middle reach along 43rd Ave South and the affected downstream resources, including commercial business district and city stormwater conveyance. Work products from each phase are intended to be integrated into a future construction contract that implements a sustainable solution that addresses flooding, water quality, fish passage, and habitat degradation. This amendment number four, which is part of phase three, includes additional design and engineering services to produce a site investigation report for the landslide, which is located in the middle reach. It is a source of accelerated sediment transport to downstream resources. Amendment number four tasks are intended to be a predecessor task for a future amendment to be funded by the Department of Ecology Community-Based Public-Private Partnership, known as CBP3, which was applied for back in October of this year. This future amendment will include planning and outreach with affected private property owners downstream of the landslide. The site investigation report will establish a baseline understanding of the landslide in preparation for a private property owner engagement. The private property stormwater infrastructure between the landslide and the flooding on South 134th and South 131st Place are integral to resolving the sediment transport and stormwater conveyance issues contributing to the flooding. This contract amendment will include survey, critical area delineation, stormwater drainage, and hydraulic analysis, and geotechnical analysis of landslide. Pace Engineers will develop a site investigation report to understand the landslide and assess ways to manage stream bank erosion that is contributing to downstream flooding. Pace Engineers has provided a cost estimate not to exceed $223,170 to form additional engineering services. Total funding for contract 22-102 is $754,393. Let's see. And the available budget funding is $878,846. That is the end. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Joshua, for your presentation. Councilmember Hedger, do you have a question? My only clarifying question is, are all these three phases going to be happening on public? Is it all on public lands, or is it also public and private lands?
Phase one and two are largely, well, It's going to be a little bit of both, I think, in each phase. We're working with private property owners in each phase. Mr. Becker owns a property next to the South 131st that's flooding. And then there's two properties next to phase two. And then phase three, there's many private properties that are affected. And that's why we'll be having a larger public outreach and engagement process as part of phase three.
And a part of this project is the city's responsibility to ensure that these floodings do not happen?
Good question. There have been, Public Works has been contacted by a number of property owners about the flooding, and it's a complicated issue because flooding is systemic. It's coming from upstream, and it's spanning public and private property. And oftentimes, the problem is not just on public or private property; it's a combination. So there's an opportunity, I think, to address water quality and flooding on public right-of-way and to help potentially the private property owners.
Yeah, I think that's my only kind of thought or comment. As we move forward to this project and we discover possibly new issues, and if there is a conversation about funding, and if we do not have that funding available to us, I think there's a possible conversation to be had about public and private partnerships on something like this. But besides that, I don't have anything else. Councilmember Hedrick, you said you don't have any questions?
No, I'm good.
We have consensus to move this item forward to the December 2nd regular consent agenda?
Yeah.
We have consensus. Thank you, Joshua. And I believe you're also on the second agenda item, which is the Gillan Creek Fish Barrier Removal and Habitat Enhancement.
Yeah. Amendment number two. Let's see. Again, Council is being asked to approve Amendment Number 2 to Contract 24093 with OTAC for additional design and engineering services in the amount of $769,952, and to consider this item on the consent agenda at the December 2nd regular Council meeting. The Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal and Habitat Enhancement Project was established as a city CIP project in 2019. It is a priority project with Water Resource Inventory Area Number 9, and the Salmon Recovery Fund Board. The goals of the project are to restore fish passage between Gillian Creek and the Green River, enhance habitat, and maintain or improve flood protection and maintenance and operation of the flapgate system. This contract amendment includes additional tasks to complete preliminary design alternatives analysis and 30% design for preferred alternative by the end of quarter 2, 2025. In October of 2024, Tukwila applied for a DOT culvert AOP grant to fund 30% design through construction. This is, I believe, a $24 million grant application. If Tukwila were to be successful with this grant, reimbursement would start at 30% design. So the project needs to progress to 30% design milestone in order to receive reimbursements from this DOT grant. If the grant application were to be unsuccessful, Tukwila would reapply in quarter three of 2025 and will submit a more competitive grant application with a preferred alternative developed to 30% design and corresponding cost estimate. OTAC has provided a cost estimate not to exceed $769,952 to perform additional design and engineering services. Total grant funding for this project is $1.35 million. A cost increase for $278,000 has been submitted to Wire 9 to cover the delta. That is the end. Does anybody have any questions?
Councilmember Hedrick, do you have questions? No?
No, I'm good.
I also do not have any questions. Councilmember Hedrick, do we have consensus to move this agenda item forward to the December 2nd regular consent agenda?
Yes.
We have consensus. Thank you, Joshua, for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
We'll move forward to our third agenda item. Item C, amend to interlocal cooperation agreement, King County Conservation Future Grant Awards for South 131st Street Drainage Improvement. And today we have Katrina with us.
Hi, good afternoon or evening. Katrina DeBoer, Public Works Grants Analyst. My first item before you today is asking for authorization to amend Interlocal Agreement 19184, which is between King County and the City of Tukwila. And I added in pending legal review that we'll have that go through our legal team before we send it for signature. And this is accepting $964,375 in grant awards. And so this money is spread across two different projects. The first is for the South 131st Street Drainage Project, which is related to the item that you just heard from Josh Hopkins. This grant funding funds acquisition for open space and conservation purposes, and there are some parcels that have been identified by PACE engineers through this design process. So now we're working on getting some funding in place. This does not obligate us to buy the parcels. This is just we're getting the funding in place so that if the design does say that these parcels would help achieve the flooding and fish passage and water quality benefits, we already have that funding ready to go. The South 131st Street project does require a local city match, and you'll see that is $248,125. We do have an Department of Ecology grant, which is going to serve as the match amount for that, so there will be no city funds needed there. The second is for the Duwamish Hill Preserve project. You may recall the city has other grant funding for that project and has already acquired those parcels and gotten council approval. The project ended up being slightly more expensive than expected, so we requested a cost increase from King County, which was awarded. So now we're just coming back through to accept those funds, which will then reimburse the city for expenses we've already incurred. And ask for this to be forwarded to under unfinished business instead of the consent agenda due to council member affiliations.
Councilmember Hedger, do you have a question?
I have no question. Actually, I have one question. What other parcels were identified? It was like in the GIS map, only the two.
Are you talking about for Duwamish Hill Preserve?
Yes.
It is for those parcels.
Oh,
we've already paid for it.
Right. The two. Okay.
So no additional parcels.
Okay. I have no other questions. I'm good.
Yeah, neither do I have any questions. I think we have consensus to move the item C forward to the December regular meeting. Okay, we'll move on to the fourth agenda item, item D, accepting a Flint County Flood Control District 2024 Flood Reduction Grant Award, Yellow Creek Erosion Repair, also presented by Fitzgerald.
So for this item, Council is being asked to accept a 2024 flood reduction grant and consider this item under unfinished business on December 2nd as well. This is for design and construction funding for the Gilliam Creek erosion repair. So I was before you a couple weeks ago also talking about the Gilliam Creek project, and this is related to that, but slightly different. This is for an interim measure to help prevent flooding and protect the properties around Gilliam Creek, which is just down near South Center. And so this will help create like some temporary protection to prevent flooding while we work on a more sustainable kind of bigger picture project. We applied for this funding earlier this year and it is no match. So we'll receive full funding, which will cover survey, design, permitting, and construction.
Wonderful.
I have no questions. I'm good.
Councilmember Hedges, do you have consent to move agenda item D forward to the December 2nd regular agenda?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Patron, for all the great words. Now moving on to item E, accepting 3D sound transit system access fund grant, South 132nd, connection 42nd Avenue Bikeway, and SCB.
Sorry,
South Center Boulevard.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, I can work on that.
South Center Boulevard, okay. Great.
So for this, I consolidated this into one info memo, but it is three separate awards and it'll be three separate contracts, but it's all coming from the same place. So Sound Transit approached us, I think late last year, early this year, with some potential project ideas to improve access and safety around the Tukwila International Boulevard light rail station. And so Adam and I and Cindy and other members of the team met with Sound Transit a couple of times, went back and forth, workshopped some ideas. And then at the end, they presented us with three grant awards for these three projects. So the first you'll see is there's a graphic drawing thing that shows it'll be a pedestrian connection between the Confluence Apartments and the TIB overflow parking lot. This project's been identified for the past couple of years, so we're excited to have some funding to do it. And it'll add some, just like a ramp thing, so that residents on 152nd can get up into the parking lot without having to go up and around. The second project will be a traffic-calmed bikeway along 42nd Avenue South. There's also an image of what that will look like in your packet. And then the third project is to kind of reconfigure and add some more pedestrian and bicycle-friendly services around the South Center Boulevard intersection. So that's what actually leads you into the station. Some bike lanes, high-vis crosswalks, some other improvements there. This is for design and construction funding as well, and it has no match. So for the three projects, it's a total of $1,250,000.
Excellent, Patrick. Do you have any questions?
No questions. I approve.
I have two questions. What other projects were discussed, possibly some funding opportunities to look at?
So one of the other projects was, you'll notice that in one of the attachments, it says high cost 42nd Ave bikeway. There was also a low cost option, which was basically just some paint. And so with that, we opted for the higher cost because it'll, it makes it just a little bit better, helps with, you know, sidewalk and instead of, I can't think of, there weren't like a ton of projects to choose from. That's one I can remember. Do you remember any of the others?
There was another one they requested for 152nd and TIB intersection, for adding some.
Oh yeah, kind of reconfiguring that.
And I have a question regarding the bikeway. Why is it on the 42nd Avenue instead of like TIB, or does TIB already have a bike lane?
It's connecting because 42nd
Avenue. Are there reasons why it's not, TIB was not chosen? I guess that's fine.
I'm not an engineer, but at least from my recollection of the meetings is that trying to get vehicles or passengers, people and bicyclists on this lower traffic road is safer. At least that's one reason Sound Transit gave us. But I don't know if you.
Yeah, I think they had a certain dollar amount that they were looking for, and they knew TIV would be a little bit more expensive. So they opted to give us these three projects to incorporate some of the connection to the light rail station from the 42nd and from 152nd, given the housing communities they have there. So I think that was their intent, but not 100% on that one.
I guess, one thing that I look at is I hear the city discussing a lot about how they want to make TIB a slower, they still want to have keep the same number of lanes, but make it, they want the traffic to move a lot slower. So looking at this, I would think that, you know, well, hopefully bike lanes would help that or slow some traffic down. But then it looks like the opposite is happening. It looks like by putting these bike lanes on 42nd Avenue, we're still wanting to maintain the same status quo and making sure that cars are moving faster, which I mean, I find with either or, but I think consistency is sort of the key here. That's sort of why I was asking that question. But I mean, I'm fine with it being on 42nd Avenue. I just think the consistency is sort of what's something important. That's my recent interview. So you have any questions, right?
No, I'm good.
Do we have to continue to move this agenda forward to the December 2nd regular consent agenda?
Yeah,
consent is the same thing. And then last item is item F, Allen Truck Ordinance, presented by Adam. Thank you.
Yeah, good evening, council members. Adam Cox, the interim traffic engineer. I also have Deputy Chief Lund here as well to answer any enforcement fee questions. But I'm requesting to have the ordinance 9.54 truck route be forwarded to the community of the whole on December 16th or December 9th, and then to consent on December 16th. And the background that we had with this ordinance that is in place is that during the 1990s, kind of found that there was some no truck signs implemented throughout the downtown neighborhood. And then during the EIS project, as well as the 42nd Avenue bridge replacement project, we found that there was no authorization or authority needed to implement those no truck signs. So what we have here is this ordinance is to apply to have a vehicle restriction rate of 26,001 pounds and 26 feet to reduce the number of an egress route from the industrial districts through the neighborhood and onto other facilities. So at this time, there's no financial impact to the request of ordinance, and have any impact to the signs that need to be ordered, replaced for this once this is approved and moved forward. So with that, I have any questions on replacement of the signs or the ordinance, and then any authority from Chief Lund to talk about enforcement of these ordinance.
Councilmember Hedrick, do you have any questions?
No questions other than how are we planning, like what's our plan for implementing enforcement?
Good evening. Eric Lund, Deputy Chief. So I haven't heard a concrete answer from the prosecutor's office yet. I asked her this morning to review the draft ordinance, but with the Microsoft issue, she wasn't able to open attachments today, so she didn't get till late. Her thinking is that we would need to weigh the vehicles, and that would create additional, we'd have to have some additional training for our officers to have that equipment to be able to weigh, but she hasn't given me a solid answer yet. Of course, this is one of the violations that we'd have to observe in person. So we'd have to be in the area where a truck was violating the code and then take enforcement action then. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it answers it enough.
Okay.
Any other questions? Can I see what Hedrick?
No, I'm good.
I do have a question on page 88, bullet point, I go from B. It says all trucks and vehicles identified in Section A are prohibited from traveling on the following routes. But I try to find Section A. I'm not sure where exactly Section A. Am I missing? Or is it the section on page 86, but it doesn't really talk about the type of vehicles.
The vehicles restricted by weight, width, and or length. So that one, motor truck, tractor, motor truck and trailer combination. That exceeds.
Where is it?
8 feet. It's that top paragraph on page 88. A is just on the previous page. So there's like so 1, 2, and 3.
So it's referencing on the bottom of page 87 that portion leading up to just before section B. Okay. So it's noting that the definitions above are what will be prohibited in Section B.
So anything that exceeds 8 feet in width, 26 feet in length, or 26,001 pounds, plus anything transporting radioactive material and anything transporting hazardous cargo.
Isn't 26 a little too generous for some of these streets? Because if it's 25 feet, right? My understanding is, like, if it's 25 feet, it could still go through some of these streets, correct?
Correct. Like the theory of behind the distance or the length of the vehicle is we're trying to incorporate allowing a delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you have your UPS, FedEx, but also delivery of appliances or something like that, and that falls within this.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Thank you.
The average size of a UPS truck is 26 feet long.
Okay. I did not know that was that. Wow. Okay.
I just Googled it.
And one thing to note is this ordinance becomes effective upon adoption, but pending signage.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously then the enforcement would follow as the deputy chief noted.
If they can get permission to weigh them and get the training to weigh them. So it's like theoretical enforcement.
Yeah, well, it just depends. I think if we could get out a tape measure and measure a vehicle, then maybe that would work. But Karen has not answered me yet. So I was trying to get an answer before tonight's meeting. It just didn't work out. But generally, I know in some smaller cities down south. They're constantly doing commercial vehicle enforcement, and they need specialized training to do that. And we don't have that training.
And one last question. Currently, I'm assuming there is a problem of the large vehicles traveling through some of these through these local narrow streets, correct? Yeah. I've heard a lot about it, but just wanted to get a yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm seeing head shake. I don't have any other questions. Councilmember, do you have any questions?
No.
Do you have consensus to move the Allentown Turk ordinance forward to the December 9, 2024 committee of the whole, and then December 16th regular consent agenda?
Yes.
We have consensus. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
We will adjourn the meeting at 6 o'clock.